You know, there are many people in our world today who would do anything to see a miracle and would love to be able to go back to the time of our Lord. Go back to this miracle of the fish and loaves and to see it happen. Not even to be able to participate in it, just to see it happen, to be present when it happens. And there are others who would love to go to the miraculous healings our Lord does, you know, where He, with just a word and, or with just a touch, He was able to heal these people from all these infirmities that they had. You know, of course, people today are looking for healings too. It's not just to be able to see them, but there are people today who are looking for healing. You know, we know people, that millions of people a year go to Lourdes, France, to go and dip into that miraculous water that has done so many healings and continues to heal people to this day miraculously. Or they, you know, when we know someone in our community or in our family who is ill or who has had a serious diagnosis, we ask others to intercede on their behalf, the saints and others, to intercede that this person will be healed. We seek these miracles. We look for these miracles. And, you know, the amazing part is each and every one of us here has seen a miracle. Each and every one of us. And many of us have seen miracles multiple times, quite a few times. In fact, a miracle is about to occur. It's about to happen right here in this church in just a few minutes. Now, what is this miracle I'm talking about? I'm talking about the great miracle of the bread and wine in the back of the church being brought forward and placed on the altar and becoming this bread and wine, becoming the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Not just is this a miracle that this occurs, but it's the greatest miracle of all the miracles that have occurred throughout all of humanity. No miracle matches the fact that simple bread and wine can become the body and blood of our Lord. And the best part of this miracle is we get to receive Him. We get to receive our Lord in the presence, in His real presence of body and blood. Now, we don't think of this as a miracle usually because it's usually not the most sensational of miracles. And I mean sensational in kind of that literal sense of it's not attractive or it's not noticeable to our senses. That bread and wine, when we receive it, it looks, it tastes, it smells like bread and wine. It doesn't change into literal flesh and blood, except in a few circumstances. There have been exceptional miracles, Eucharistic miracles, where the host and the wine have actually changed into heart muscle and blood, so that they actually did become flesh and blood. But usually, to our appearances, these are bread and wine. Because we don't see a change, we don't taste a change, it tastes like bread and wine, we often forget or misunderstand what is happening when this miracle occurs. Sadly, I've heard someone publicly say here in this parish that what happens here is just a symbol. It doesn't literally become body and blood. It's just a symbol of Jesus' body and blood. And that's not the case. That's not what we believe as Catholics. In fact, we know for a fact from our Lord. Our Lord told us that that bread and wine become His body and blood. We know that it really is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. This happens after, as the priest says those great words of consecration, which St. Paul reminds us in the second reading. This is my body. This is my blood. And the best part about this miracle is not just that we can be present to see it happen, but that we then get to participate in receiving Him. We can then come forward and receive our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, we're all familiar with the phrase, you are what you eat. We've all heard that. We've probably used that. And what we usually mean by that is what we consume, what we eat, becomes a part of us. If we eat a good, nourishing diet, it'll strengthen our bodies. It'll help our bodies to grow and heal and do everything our bodies are supposed to do. If you fall into that trap that I do all too often of eating a lot of junk food, it hurts the body. It causes our body to be harmed by having that food that is less than nourishing. Well, in that sense, yes, when we eat our Lord, it becomes a part of us. The Eucharist becomes a part of us. That the host and the body and blood of our Lord is consumed. But in a more important sense, when we receive the Eucharist, we become a part of the body of Christ all the more fully. We are assumed all the more deeply into the body and blood of Christ. Those spiritual bonds between us and our Lord are strengthened and renewed every time we receive the Eucharist. This is why it's so important that we receive the Eucharist worthily. And we've heard this phrase, to worthily receive our Lord. What does this mean? Well, first of all, it means that we've received confession at least once a year, and we have no unconfessed mortal sins on our soul when we come forward to receive. This is important. We need to realize that sin cuts us off from God, and that when we have mortal sin on our soul, we are not in the state of grace. This also means that we have prepared by fasting. Now, the church has given us guidelines for fasting, and that those have changed throughout the years. There's probably plenty of people here who remember when the fasting rules said nothing after midnight. So nothing from midnight to when you receive communion. That was relaxed quite a bit, to say the least. Now the rules are 1 hour before receiving communion. So 1 hour before receiving our Lord, not 1 hour before Mass, which is a good guideline, and that's what I personally try to do, but 1 hour before receiving our Lord. And this means only water and what is medically necessary, medicine, or for like extreme diabetics who they can't go an hour without something to keep their blood sugar up. But for most of us, 1 hour without any kind of food, without any drink other than water, and frankly, 1 hour even without water for most of us, is not a big deal. So that means no gum, no pop, no coffee, nothing like that. Just water and what's medically necessary for 1 hour. And then the third part of receiving our Lord worthily is that we take time before receiving to prepare ourselves to receive Him. That we take time to reflect on who it is that we are receiving and what He does for us when we receive Him. To open ourselves up to His graces that we get when we receive Him. That He gives to us when we receive Him. Now, I mention that receiving our Lord worthily because it's important that we are conscious of that. We must not receive our Lord unworthily. As St. Paul tells us in the verse immediately following our second reading today, for whatever reason they left it off, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. When we receive our Lord unworthily, when we receive Him not in the state of grace, not having fasted, we are guilty of the sin of sacrilege. That phrase, guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, that's kind of almost like a legal term for guilty of murder. If you are guilty of the body and blood of someone, you've killed them. It's of that serious level to receive our Lord not in the state of grace. So it's important that we make sure that we are in the state of grace, we have fasted, that we receive our Lord worthily. St. Paul tells us, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes. When we regularly receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, it will lead us to salvation. That's why it's so important that we ensure that we receive Him worthily. But receiving Him is not the end. That's not the last of it. When after Mass is over, the body and blood of our Lord don't revert. They don't turn back into bread and wine. They remain the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. That's why we have the tabernacle. That's why we place the leftover Eucharist in the tabernacle. Now, first of all, to protect it so that it's not used for profane purposes, it's not abused. But secondly, so that we can take it to those who are sick or homebound, those who cannot make it to Mass, but would like to receive our Lord. We store it in the tabernacle for that. But the most important thing that we put it in the tabernacle for, especially the reason why the tabernacle is somewhere prominent, usually the center of the sanctuary, or should be somewhere prominent, is because it's there so we can spend time with our Lord. Our Lord is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. When we enter into this church, when we enter into a chapel with the tabernacle, we are truly entering into His presence. Now, this isn't a spiritual presence. This isn't, you know, when we gather to pray, our Lord is present among us spiritually, and that should be one of our prayers, is that He is among us, and that we are open to His presence as we pray. But He is present here in this church in a much different way than that spiritual presence. It's like if you go to someone's house. You are present to them, and they are present to you in their house. In the same way, when we come here to our Lord's house, He is present to us, and we are present to Him in the same way. And I would argue that spending time before our Lord in the tabernacle is the greatest spiritual practice, second only to receiving Him in the Eucharist. Receiving Him in the Eucharist is the most important thing we can do spiritually. Spending time with Him is the second most important. Because if we truly believe what we say, that is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord in the Eucharist, there would be nothing in this world that would keep us from spending time with Him on a regular basis. And I argue that we should spend time with Him on a daily basis, that on every day we should spend some time with Him, even if it's just a short visit on the way to work, on the way home, on the way to do errands, just to pop in and spend a couple minutes with our Lord. Even better would be to spend time during Eucharistic adoration, such as what we will have Friday. Friday is the first Friday, and we will have Eucharistic adoration again. Sign up sheet on the back table if you're interested in signing up for adoration. But that's even better than just spending time in front of the tabernacle, to schedule a time to spend before our Lord. Because when we spend time with Him, when we come into the church and we spend time before Him, that's how we come to know our Lord on a personal level. That's how we develop a personal relationship with our Lord, is by spending time with Him. So as we prepare for this great miracle that is about to occur, may we ready ourselves to receive our Lord, and then commit ourselves to coming back every day and spend time with Him.